始まるざますよ。
行くでガンス。
ふんがー。
まともに始めなさいよ。
アニメ、ダイエット、ラジオ。
This is Anime Diet Radio number 10. We've hit the double digits, everyone.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm still in my warming up mode.
That's okay. I'm your anime podcast host, Michael Huang. Please introduce yourselves, my lovely co-hosts.
And this is Raymond Hugh from Taipei, and I am sexy.
I don't know if I so much fit in the lovely part, unless I put on a really pretty dress, but, you know. This is Jeremy from Los Angeles.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
I'm not wearing that dress right now, though, just so you know. Just so nobody's imagination goes wild, I'm not wearing it.
No, you just gave me the image of you in the Haruhi drag.
No!
Brain freeze!
We're all lovely, lovely, lovely.
Yeah, hey. But I'm sexy.
Okay. No, you're sexy. Okay, so why don't we go ahead and move on to today's agenda. The first news item is not really actually news about the anime world so much as it is news about us. We are actually introducing, or we've already introduced, a new feature, and those of you who are subscribed via iTunes have already seen it. We have introduced audio columns, which are released just like this podcast on every single feed and on the website. Audio columns are basically 3 to 5 minute solo editorials by each one of us and on different various topics that interest us. Ray's already done a couple, and as you can have already seen if you subscribe. And
yeah, I thought one, and the other one, you're not supposed to hear.
Well, you put it out, so,
yeah, I said offensive, didn't I?
Yes, you did. So, disclaimer, yes, the very episode zero of his, of Ray's column, which is called The View from the AT Field, is a little bit, raw and a little offensive to those of you who actually enjoy children's shows. So, be warned. We take no responsibility for any damage that might result.
Mental or otherwise.
Yes.
Chicly pretty! I don't want sticky cheese!
I choose you!
Gotcha!
And I will be doing one on the theme of, since I am a budding theologian, a theme on anime, religion, and ethics. It's basically going to be my takes.
Everything you have to do have something to do with Eva.
You know, I was actually contemplating talking about Eva for the very first one. But now that you have forced me to disclaim the fact that I do not in fact worship Anno, I'm probably going to do something about Bokurano first. Bokurano. Not Anno, but Bokurano. And so basically, they're going to be released hopefully on the off weeks, on the weeks when we don't do podcasts, basically. And so the goal is that every week there will be something new in your iTunes feed or your podcast feed or whatever application you use to get our wonderful audio productions. So look forward to them, and we will see you by ourselves for 3 to 5 minutes.
Los Angeles, California, and Taipei, Taiwan. This is the ADR Evening News.
This is from the BBC, the British Broadcasting Company. Police chiefs in the Thai capital, Bangkok, have come up with a new way of punishing officers who break the rules. An eye-catching Hello Kitty armband. Hello Kitty, or as she is known in Japan, Kitty-chan, is featured on a large, bright, pink armband and it has a motif with two hearts embroidered on it. From today, officers who are late, park in the wrong place, or commit other minor transgressions will have to wear it for not one, but several days. This is to help build discipline. We will not let small offenses go unnoticed, Police Colonel Pongpat Chayapan told Reuters news agency. Guilty officers will be made to wear the armbands in the office for a few days with instructions, and here's the really good part, not to disclose their offenses. Let people guess what they have done, he said. The cartoon character Hello Kitty was introduced by Japanese company Sanrio in 1974. Round cat face has become an Asia-wide marketing phenomenon, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, I just thought this was really, really hilarious. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny. I kind of wish they'd do that here sometimes, but with park enforcement.
So. Yeah. Like that cop who gave me the gridlock ticket.
Right. Yeah. And politicians.
Can you imagine any of the major presidential candidates being forced to, let's say, wear a char mask or a Hello Kitty armband? We were talking last time, actually, about that Gundam impersonator who was shilling for elections.
Yep. Shinichiro Nabe wa Abe, ikimasu!
Yep. And so are there any other creative punishments you can think of that are anime-related for anybody who's done something worthy of minor punishment?
I don't know about minor, but if you had to make somebody, you made somebody have to wear any kind of moe t-shirts to like a pedophile support group or something like that, I think that would be pretty messed up.
Oh my. You know, that reminds me actually of, there's a website actually, there's an anime website called Paidolicious, and that is just not a website you want to have in your web surfing history. I mean, ew. I know. It's not a pedophile website. It's like a moe loving website. And it's just,
well, you know, yeah. That's pretty similar in many ways.
I know, I'm thinking like, what is the difference?
I know, that is the problem with all this excessive cuteness in the last 5 to 10 years in anime. I mean, it's really verging on like, yeah, on, it could be definitely read the wrong way. I think I read some blog post actually about a person who ordered some moe related art books or whatever from Hong Kong or wherever it was. And yeah, their package got opened up by customs. And like, it's really obvious it was opened up by customs, got a sticker and everything like that. And it just happened to be something that looks really paidolicious. That is not the sort of thing you want to be importing in general.
That needs to be a new a new code word. Paidolicious. Not to be confused with Pedro-licious.
Oh my. Is that boyfriend that you've been seeing? Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Ever since I started wearing the dress.
I'm just kidding.
He's finding himself. And so I wonder how everybody who's walking down the street looking at that cop with the Hello Kitty armband is exactly going to think about like the police from this point forward. Will they take the police seriously?
I don't know if anybody really takes Thai police seriously, actually. I have a friend from Thailand, and he said, you know, basically the police force is actually pretty corrupt there. If you get pulled over for any kind of infraction, you can generally bribe your way out of it fairly easily.
Ah, I see.
Ah, Black Lagoon.
Uh-huh. Yeah, from Hello Kitty to Black Lagoon, we've traveled quite a long distance here. Yep. And like you, Ray, you were saying, maybe for more serious offenses, we should make everybody make errant cops dressed up as Bonta-kun.
That's right, Bonta-kun, that's right. From Fumoku, yeah.
Yeah, the big teddy bear outfit that Sosuke commissions and turns into a lean, mean fighting machine that could revolutionize modern warfare, as he boasts.
Except we can put these things in there. Because otherwise, the corrupt police will just get worse. He'll just make everybody laugh their asses to death before he blow their heads off.
Yeah. While saying, foo, 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 foo.
Oh my god. Better than Pikachu!
Oh, that would be even better. That'd be for level 3 offenses.
Pikachu!
Have a man dressing a Pikachu costume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he has to hug all the kids who come nearby.
Ew.
Okay, maybe that could be taken the wrong way.
that's pay-delicious.
Yeah, that would be pay-delicious indeed. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the next news item. Okay. Cosplay Summit convenes at Japan's Foreign Ministry. This is from the Anime News Network. From the first time, the International Cosplay Summit visited Japan's Ministry of Foreign Affairs, where participants from 12 countries met with Vice Foreign Minister Katsuhito Asano and idol talent Shokotan Nakagawa on August 1st. The previous four summits were held entirely within central Japan's cities of Nagoya, where this year's summit will also continue this weekend. Asano noted that his boss, Foreign Minister Taro Aso, is a total manga geek and attempted some classic anime poses with the summit participants during the press conference. Do y'all actually see the picture that went along with this?
Oh, I didn't.
I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he looks really geeky.
He looks so out of place,
and,
too.
And that comes from an otaku, too.
I know. Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
Nah, he just looked completely whack, didn't he? Whack, whack, whack. He didn't look right.
I mean, he's this late middle-aged guy with glasses and a suit in a picture I'm looking at, and he's surrounded by, like, all these... These are pretty good cosplayers. They look exactly like the better cosplayers I've seen at AX, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And notice, though, they're all Anglo, this was kind of weird to me.
Yeah. Yeah, these are, like, white cosplayers. These are not, like, Japanese cosplayers. This is the International Cosplay Summit, you see.
Wait, you mean they're all blondes?
Yeah, there's more than one blonde in there. Yeah, there's
more. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because you said, Jeremy said Anglo. I was like, oh, blondes.
Yeah, they're yeah, these cosplayers actually look... These are relatively, like, tasteful costumes, like, compared to some of the ones that I've seen in other places. Man, Faye.
Giant tentacles.
Like that fat dude in the Sailor Moon costume, but he just, like, shows his tummy.
Yeah. I don't think there are a lot of cosplayers in Japan, actually, if I recall correctly. Is that right?
Well, there was that one guy that came here.
That's true. Yeah, Masaki, that guy who did the whole dance in front of me. That was really, okay, so there's one exception.
And that was the one that you put money in his little hearty dress, right? You said he did that little dance in front of you, so I'm just wondering.
I will neither confirm nor deny that rumor.
You would just Photoshop out of that poll, or you just edited a poll.
Well, he was not. I was not the only one. That's all I'm gonna say.
Oh, he earned quite a bit.
I was not the only one cheering and clapping. And I heard about him dancing on the front row of the SOS Brigade concert as well. So.
Good times.
Yep, good times. Good times. So Ray, what if you ever wanted to cosplay as somebody, who would you go as?
Oh, you gotta ask me, eh?
Yes, you.
Oh.
We all know what Jeremy wants to dress up as, so.
Oh dear, out of top of my head, I go with Amuro Ray. Amuro Ray, ikimasu! I'd have to have his ugly-ass afro, though.
Oh, that's true.
That hairdo.
All those characters have afros on all those late 70s and early 80s anime. Yeah.
And sideburns.
Mm-hmm. Ah, the 70s. You can't get away from fashion.
The 80s. No, mm-hmm. Dude, the 80s were better.
Yeah.
Screw the 70s. Screw the funky psychedelic crap, man. It's new wave.
Well, you didn't like the original Gundam theme song then? It's so hilarious.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. When on that Japanese robot show that fake Gundam beat up the Gigantor, I stood up and I sang Kido Senshi Gundamu Gundamu
Gundamu. Yeah, have you ever heard, Jeremy, have you ever heard the original Gundam theme song from 1979?
I haven't, but yeah. I heard one of the original Lupin theme songs at that. Were you actually there for that showing?
Yes, I was. Yeah. I remember when Dan forced us to all watch Lupin the Third.
Boy,
yeah.
That was... Oof. Wow. Lupin, Lupin.
It was like
repeated over and over again.
It was like Lupin the Third, Lupin the Third, and over and over and over and over again.
Have you guys seen that South Park episode where Robert Smith became this giant butterfly thing, and like there was a Godzilla thing, and like
yeah,
and the Japanese guy keep on going. Robert Smith.
Yes, I have seen it. That
was
awesome.
And he was like, Sydney 48! And Chef got pissed, and he's like, do you really have to sing that?
Yeah, that was great. That was actually Mecha Streisand. It was,
That's right.
It was Barbara Streisand turning into Godzilla. And and they got all the, and they turned all the major, some of the major characters in South Park into various, like, Godzilla creatures, like Mothra and all the other guys, and yeah, and then Robert Smith became a gigantic what do they call those monster movies in Japan? Actually, there's a name for them.
I should know this. One of my buddies is really into that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. The word when it's translated, it's called special effects movie. That's actually what it is. Because like Anno was a huge fan of this stuff when he was growing up, and he actually made a few parodies, Ultraman parodies. Of this sort of thing, and it's kind of in the same genre, really cheesy live action.
The rubber suit stuff.
Right? Yeah, rubber suit stuff. Yeah, so yeah, it's. So I guess that pretty much wraps it up for the news items. Actually, in that case.
Is that really necessary?
All right, let's go ahead and move on to our next section, which is kind of our. Free talk, new season, whatever. Well, it's not so new anymore right now. We're actually halfway through the summer season. So the first thing I guess we're going to be talking about is a show that's just starting to come out on Fansub in English. It's called Mononoke. And no, it's not related to Princess Mononoke, the Hayao Miyazaki film. It's quite different from that. It's very, very different. And it was actually a show that was recommended to me by a first-time visitor to our club on Saturday named Kat. He is a guy who's been in the industry for a very, very, very long time, apparently, and he knows an awful lot about anime.
Too much, some people may say. Too much.
Oh, yeah.
More than the three of us combined?
Easily.
I'm afraid so. Wow. This guy spent many years in Japan, for one thing. Oh. He's very fluent in the language. He worked for several anime studios. And he's been a volunteer at many, many cons, including AX, for many years. And actually, he had some very juicy stories to share about what happened at AX 2007 and why perhaps some of it went wrong. And unfortunately, I'm actually afraid of repeating some of the stories here because, quite frankly, if I can't substantiate them, they could be considered libelous. There's some really nasty things I heard, you know, that went on behind the scenes. It's so...
The above opinions were the opinions of the individual. It does not represent the views of this station.
And so it's, but thing is that he knows a lot, and I trust his judgment on, I'm starting to trust his judgment on a lot of things because I just swallowed the first two episodes of Mononoke, and it is definitely very different and very interesting, though it does definitely a little bit of an acquired taste. The most notable thing about this show is its art style. It is not standard anime. It is basically drawn like traditional Edo era Japanese art. Very flat, like very few 3D or dimensions or shadows like that. Very flat. The character designs are very much inspired by the art of that period, not by standard anime character designs. And so I think to those of us who are accustomed to traditional anime character looks, quite frankly, the characters will probably look rather ugly.
I mean, they look like Japanese for a change. That's why they're ugly.
No, let's not imply anything about our opinions of the appearances in Japanese.
Okay, the above opinions only of the person and not does not represent the view of the station.
Send off flames to Raymond Hugh, courtesy of... And so, yeah, basically, it's really trying to not only replicate the art of that period, but also a little bit of the feel of the stories of that period. It's like trying to do some traditional Japanese horror or supernatural ghost stories. If I recall correctly, it is actually a spinoff of another show. I think it's called Ayakushi or Kashi or something like that. Japanese horror tales of horror. Jeremy, do you know about that?
I do not, actually.
Oh, okay.
Ayakashi something.
Yeah.
Ayakashi something.
Yeah. And this is basically a spinoff from that, if I remember correctly. And from what I see, can see, the setup of the story is actually superficially similar to that of Mushishi. It's about, essentially, somebody as an exorcist who goes around, and it's basically his little story mini-arcs. He goes around basically exorcising Mononokes. Mononokes are not evil spirits. They're more like mischievous kind of spirits. And in the first story arc, the first two episodes, talks about kind of like a series of poltergeists who are inhabiting a hotel.
Huh.
And so it's kind of like a fairly standard, you know, hotel, haunted hotel story on one level. But it definitely touches on some very, very interesting issues I don't think I've ever really seen in anime. This is the first time I've ever seen anime deal seriously with the issue of abortion, for instance.
Wow.
Yeah, in the first two episodes of Mononoke. Now, before, you know, people jump to the wrong conclusions, it is still set in the 17th century, or roughly thereabouts. We're not talking about modern day, you know, stuff, but that is one of the main topics of the first two episodes. Once you get used to the art style, which took me about 5 minutes or so, and you can start paying attention to the story, you know, it's, in many ways, it's actually a fairly conventional story. It's not particularly, you know, all that different from the way other anime tells stories, though there's definitely, so most of the innovation and most of the difference is in the art, and in some of the transitions that are used in between here and there. And interestingly enough, they didn't use a lot of traditional music, which would, I think, go rather well with this whole setting and this whole shtick. Overall, I'm actually, by the time I reached the end of the second episode, I was pretty thoroughly impressed, and I'm really interested in seeing where they're going to take it. I'm just kind of worried that, you know, its strange look is probably going to put off an awful lot of people. I know that that's it's going to be difficult. Kind of the way, did you ever hear about an anime called Mind Game?
Nope.
Yeah, Mind Game is another example of an anime with a very unconventional look. And it's definitely, you know, that by itself will probably put off quite a lot of your traditional anime audience.
Like me?
I mean, I remember one of the reasons I didn't stick with Initial D was because I didn't like the character design. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think in its stylistic difference from other anime, it kind of reminds me of Gun. I don't know if I can say this right. The Count of Monte Cristo adaptation.
Really?
Gun Kutsu? Well, I mean, it's not exactly the same, but the fact that they were, it's a very artsy piece. I mean, it's, they're doing something a little different. You know, it's movable patterns quite often occurring.
So the comparison with Initial D was off there, Mike.
Well, no, I would say actually he's probably kind of right in that, because the style in Initial D is very flat as well, and very plain, plainly drawn characters. So I think that's probably what he was referring to.
And the big lips in Initial D.
Yeah.
The big lips.
Not very attractive characters. I mean, not the typical bishoujo, bishounen, Anglo-type characters.
I thought Mike didn't like it because he didn't like the plot, if there is one.
I don't think I watched enough of it to judge the plot, necessarily. Though, I mean,
you said plot, and it's in the same sentence as Initial D.
It's really...
Once again, send all hate mail to... I'm sure there probably are a few Initial D fans out there. I mean, I really didn't personally get into it, watch it, but I do know this much, that the movie in China outsold Star Wars Episode 3 on opening weekend. So, I don't know if that's saying anything, because, you know, Star Wars Episode 3, I mean...
Asians are all karma. A lot of Asians are just like car freaks. Yeah. They have a term for that, by the way, but I don't know since I'm not.
Yeah, I'm back. Yeah, back home in Maryland, we used to, you know, talk about ricing up your Honda Civic. Yeah, ricing. Yeah, that's like the there is definitely a car culture within the Asian community, and Initial D is a big part of it. Actually, it's popular even outside the anime community for that reason. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it's definitely a show that I really have not given a chance, and so I'm probably not going to be very fair in anything I say about it. Basically, you know, it's really interesting how, you know, when I do reviews, at least most of the time, I'm mostly just paying attention to story, to like characters and plot and stuff like that. And it's only, you know, once in a while that I pay a great deal of attention to the art style. But with Mononoke, it's a show where the art style really calls attention to itself. And it's one of the things that really does make it unique. And so far, at least on a storytelling level, it's actually really solid. And so I'm going to keep going and keep watching it.
Even though I don't want really expensive figures, I just buy them because they're cheap.
Okay, Ray, why don't you talk a little bit about the Moe Tan English Workbook?
Yeah. First of all, I'd like to say that I'm caught up with all 5 episodes of Moe Tan now, and I think they're all crap.
Okay.
Except the English part. And I love it when the Japanese voice actress tries her very, very best to make it sound like real English. But instead of the lines that they use that mostly bitch about their own production difficulties, let's go with the Moe Tan workbook. Ta-da! I just happened to... Well, okay, I saw this back in Japan, and I flipped through it. But back then, I was teaching English, so I thought it would be very stupid for me to carry one, to have one anyway. At any rate, so... But now I'm in Taiwan now, so I went, what the heck? And I bought a book. And it's a fairly interesting book that basically says on the cover that it's a quote-unquote Japan college entrance study book.
Really?
Basically what it said. But it says quote-unquote Japan, or quote-unquote on college entrance, I think.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you. And the English here, there's actually a line of English introducing this. Okay, Moe Tan, methodology of English, the academic necessity. And it says on the cover, the workbook you've waited for, a revolution in English studying. 1,000 most frequently used words and phrases. By now, falling in love with Ink-chan and gay to college.
Hey, that was all correct. And that was funny, too.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
And I looked through the book and, you know, like the Japanese version basically started off with a word. And it has, you know, like a dictionary explains in Japanese. And it has a Japanese sentence and it translates in English. And then below that you will have like basically says the nouns and the verbs and all that stuff. Anyway, I'm not talking about a dictionary here. And in the Chinese version, there is a Chinese translation of the English. But let's hear some of the sentences, shall we? The domestic studios cannot cover the production of animation films any longer.
Oh my, that's more like social commentary.
With the popularity of the game, it is likely a sequel will be released.
All too true.
And just one below that, he consumes a box of tissues a day. Let your imagination roam.
Oh my god.
He has a runny nose.
Well, yeah. Could be. Could be. But the verb is consume. That implies certain things, I think.
Oh, here's a good one. Recently, the game characters have become more and more complicated. For example, a 140-centimeter tall girl, over 18 years old, with a book bag on her shoulder.
Now, 140 centimeters is what? It's like really short, right? Short.
5'3", maybe?
Oh, okay.
Less. That's definitely less than...
Actually, that is about average for Japanese, and that's... That is...
I think it's shorter.
Really?
It's a lolicon size.
Ah, that's what I thought. That was what I was guessing. Yeah.
Oh, boy. On the next page, they use the word maniacs for otakus here for some reason, but let me read it the right way. Otakus are fat, wearing glasses, and are sweaty. This is a story of the older generation.
Wow.
let me just give you a disturbing example that I happen to pull up off the internet for the use of the word bet, B-E-T. When I fell in love with the her, I thought that the girl was my stepsister. I bet if I had known she was my real sister, I would have not fallen in love with her.
That is definitely in the book.
Oh, man, that sounds like that. Wasn't there an anime that was actually titled I Love My Little Sister?
Subtitle in non-appropriate ways.
There really was. I am not kidding about this. I'm not trumpeting this at all. This is really, yeah, it's really disturbing.
I believe you.
Yeah, I'm not trumpeting this.
He also tells me about your taste, Mike.
Okay, that I am going to just deny. I'm just going to deny that.
And that's a joke. So next one, let's see. I employ a sniper. He hit me when I stood behind him.
What?
I have no idea.
I guess they didn't pay him enough.
Yep.
I don't think it's a Black Lagoon reference, and one or perhaps three more. Okay. The machine was transplanted into his body, but his brain still remains in his head. What the hell?
Is that a ghost in the... No, and that's actually the opposite of Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, it's not quite. Oh, Mike will love this one. Pollution. The degree of mental pollution has risen to level E. We can't wait.
Level E? I'm sorry, I didn't get that. Level E?
I think they meant 400%.
Huh. Mental.
Eva. Mental contamination.
Oh, that's right. I was actually about to ask whether there was any direct references to other anime.
Have we covered enough Moe Tan? Or do you want to give us one other example?
Are we demanding one here? Are we calling for one here?
Yes, we are. One more, preferably the funniest example you can find.
All right, and let's go with all the young people who visit Akihabara behave almost identically.
Wow. I wonder if that's I guess it's encouraging to see that otaku are very capable of making fun of themselves. Because that's very, is that true? You've visited Akihabara, right?
You know, it's... The scary part is... Yeah. Well, I would say people are, you know, technically are different. I mean, you would even see some people dressed like they're going to Shibuya there.
Really?
And of course, these are the type of people that actually get stared at in Akiba. Mm-hmm. No, actually, they don't. You can go into Akiba and nobody's going to stare at you. See, that's the most accepting place in the world. Not in a church, by the way. But yes, it's the most accepting place in the world.
Although it may not be a particularly good place for the main character of this anime I'm preparing to talk about, especially if there's a lot of electronics. Code E. I am one of our now club favorites. Got a lot of positive feedback on this, as we just showed it this past weekend. So far there's about, I think, 3 episodes out. I haven't seen the 3rd one yet. Might be 4. I don't know. Mm. Shinami Ebihara. Not the normalest of girls. Basically, she has this condition, we'll say. You know, in animes, we've seen things from when boys get excited and seeing half-nude girls and having their imagination run wild, their nosebleeds splurting all over the place. Girls getting all excited and giggling and screaming and running away and all kinds of stuff. But this particular girl, when she gets excited, she basically generates electricity and or becomes a human EMP bomb. Pretty much, depending on how much excitement is going on, how disturbed she's become. Mm-hmm. It can be subtle, from basically causing people's cell phones around her to malfunction, to entirely destroying the extremely high-tech school electrical system at her the school she just transported to. I mean, I kid you not. They have what is literally amounts to volleyball courts that are some not unlike a scene from Tron, with the lines drawn right on the floor and
by computer
electronically.
Yeah, wow. It's actually set 10 years in the future. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's so and like all the blackboards are basically like LCDs that can change, you know, instantly. Oh. And I want one of those when I become a professor.
So the dilemma that she runs into at this new school, as she's been moving from school to school, and her parents have been uprooting and, you know, shifting their jobs around in order to try to give her a place where she can actually be undetected and be as comfortable as possible. Mm-hmm. So much so to the point that her father actually stays up at night planning out routes for her to go so she can avoid any and all electronic devices that she might run into. At this new school, she starts to actually, you know, kind of hit it off, fit in, until she runs into another student by the name of Kotaru, who happens to be a complete and total science, technology, and paranormal nerd. When she happens to go by the worst place possible for her, his laboratory, and nearly, you know, overloads his mainframe, he figures out what's going on. So he becomes obsessed with trying to figure out what exactly is this Type E ability that she has. So there's lots of comedic situations that she can get into with her her power. It looks very similar in style to Read or Die.
Yeah.
In fact, the opening song is very, very similar.
Same artist, right?
Yeah, it actually is. Same artist. I think it's artist, right? Yeah.
And the main character really does look like Yomiko Riedman's younger sister in many ways. She's also a Meganiko, and it's and
interesting.
Yeah, but they're also both very clumsy and very cute, and so.
Wait, let me get this straight. So yeah. The main guy has a laboratory.
He has a huge computer lab. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know why I say laboratory? Because I'm thinking Dexter's lab.
Yeah. Right.
And he gets a girl that comes into his lab and basically just messes up everything.
He wants to study her body.
Okay.
Oh, that's the whole.
I didn't say anything else. I just said he wants to study her body.
Well, uh-huh, okay. Uh-huh. Okay.
It's a fantasy. It's definitely a fantasy fulfillment. Then again, a lot of anime are.
Yeah, it's.
But I'll bet one of these devices won't work on her. The vibrator.
Yeah, I wonder about. I guess no battery power.
We don't want to go there. Battery power. He's like, I wonder about.
Battery powered devices, but then I just realized cell phones. Cell phones, yeah, I'll get knocked out too. But yeah, like, what's his name? Kotaru? He has the most awesome computer machine room I've ever seen. It looks like that big machine room I used to work in when I was a system administrator, actually.
So did you draw, like, the duck in Moi Tan when you saw that?
No, I didn't draw. I just wished I was there. Lots of blinking lights. We call them blinkin' lights in nerd culture. And like all the rack-mounted servers and all the cabling, all the. Oh man!
Wait! His lab is better than Lane's lab. In serial experiment, Lane.
It's more up to date than Lane. Lane was made a while back. This is much more up to date. This is much more current.
Though Lane's almost a cyber god.
That's true.
His was more a little more realistic, I think.
Yeah,
Lane's was very much, you know, sci-fi, fantasy, so to speak, with all the big pipes and cables and
cooling,
just everything, cooling units all over the place.
I mean, yeah, liquid cooling. And it's all connected through, and it's emblazoned in very large letters, actually, ISDN. It's just a dinky little ISDN connection. internet. Yeah. In an age when now in Japan you can easily get 100 megabits like for cheap.
But you know what's real about LAN though? That what? Humming sound.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely real. Mm-hmm. And you can hear it in the States too. Right. Like you go to, like you live in a house and you go to in the backyard, you hear this. Well, you live on the grid, right? Mm-hmm. Or you can just hear that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, you get your otaku moment. Wow! Yeah. Wow!
That you start to wonder what your sperm count is, but.
And you know something's going really wrong when you start seeing blood dripping down from the power lines. Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be just a cooked duck. I mean, a cooked crow.
Hmm. There were actually a lot of crows in LAN, weren't there?
There's a lot of crows in a lot of Abe Yoshitoshi's work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sounds like it's interesting series.
It really is. It really actually, you know, the first time I watched it, I was actually several weeks back. I just downloaded myself because, oh, look, a new show, episode one. Let's check it out. And, you know, I kind of quit after 5 minutes. It actually seemed kind of boring after 5 minutes. And you really sort of have to get to the end of the first episode to really appreciate it.
Yeah, at least.
At the end of the first episode, you realized everything up to that point was a build-up for this really incredibly funny punchline that, that made all of it worth it. And that brought the house down at the club. Like, I've never... That was so awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, it was quite good. And I kind of figured it would, so that was hence why it was my organizer's choice.
Yeah, so Ray, yeah, you should check it out sometime. It is really entertaining. I thought it was really funny. And if you liked Read or Die, yeah, you'll get somewhat similar vibe, though. I don't know how serious it's going to get. Read or Die actually got a little bit dramatic near the end, and especially the TV show, but...
No, but is she gonna like is she like the I don't know, engineering professor who's gonna save the humanity? You know, instead of using paper, she's gonna use electricity?
I bet she probably will be, quite frankly. I mean that her powers are very can be very useful in certain circumstances, I think.
I think right now though it looks to be much more of a comedy. Okay. I think it's gonna primarily be a comedy and or romance. I mean, you take the two most unlikely people to actually kind of quote-unquote hook up, you know, a girl that can't be around any kind of electronic devices without causing chaos, and someone that's completely engrossed in, you know, science and electronics. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so why don't we go ahead and just move on to our final group round table debate. Let's talk about otaku dating, shall we?
All right.
Otaku. Dating.
Dating as an otaku. And here we've got quite an interesting... well, Jeremy, you're married to an otaku. You've made it, buddy.
He did one step better. He converted an absolute innocent normal person to the power of the dark side.
I don't know so much dark side, but...
Okay.
Yeah, I mean... No, that's kind of fair, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think in a way, like, actually in some ways kind of disqualifies me just a little bit, because we're talking about finding someone that, more than likely has the same, you know, I started to say issues as you.
What are you insinuating?
Hi, my name is Ray, and I'm an otaku.
Hi, Ray.
I think just finding somebody that has the same interest in you, and namely anime, and I think I would just say I think it's become a little more acceptable lately. You know, it's becoming a little more mainstream. But I know personally, it's always kind of interesting when you are back in the day when you're meeting someone of the opposite sex, especially if you're a guy meeting a girl, and saying, they ask you, you know, what you're into, and you say, oh, I watch anime. And they're like, oh, like cartoons?
Yeah, you know, yeah. I still find that I have the same problem, actually. I never mention that I'm into anime alone. I always have to surround it with all my other interests as well. At least when I'm talking to, like, a crowd that I know wouldn't be quite amenable to that. The one exception, oddly enough, I was once asked to guest preach at a a Korean American youth group, and it was actually anime that opened everybody up. So there's even a purpose for you being an anime fan in certain contexts. In certain contexts, you know, it's okay, I think. But
actually, what's quite interesting is I work in the school system, so I work with elementary school kids, and they all know Naruto.
Yeah.
And so it actually has opened up a lot of really good conversation about encouraging them to, do their best, stuff like that.
There you go.
Be like Naruto and try hard and, you know, so, I mean, it's actually, it can be a good thing when you're talking to children.
I was going to say something not so.
Not when you're trying to date people.
I was going to say something not so nicely, like, you are surrounded by a bunch of Naruto-hards.
Naruto-hards, that's the...
I thought that was going to be another pedo-licious comment, but on that note, we can't do that because that kind of involves my job. Let's not make those comments.
No, I'm not going there. I'm just saying I thought you were surrounded by... I was going to say, and I...
Naruto.
And I said it anyway. You were surrounded by Naruto-hards.
Naruto-hards, yeah. That's the... I think even Naruto fans... like call themselves Narutards now. They were making comments about that during the AMV contest in AX, actually, because like half the videos at AX were about Naruto. So
hey, they're proud of it. It's a badge. They're proud of it. There you go.
I just called myself an Evatard in one of my recent posts. So yeah.
Yeah, Jeremy, you're even better than the rest of us. You're the master. You're beyond the master. You actually convert people.
So like what attracted Heather to anime specifically? Like that would be a good question.
Right? Well, I mean, actually, for one thing, I think it's fair to say like she was somewhat interested in the goth scene to begin with. Knowing this, I showed her what I felt was the closest to a gothy type anime that I was into at the time. I know there's probably plenty more. I mean, like stuff like Helsing or something like that, I guess, would have been good. But, Full Metal Alchemist had just come out, and with the characters all named after the seven deadly sins and being kind of gothy and black and stuff like that, I started showing her that, and she really was surprised at how good it was. Like, the quality of the storyline.
Oh, definitely.
Are people taking down notes? Are people taking down notes?
Yeah.
First,
Full Metal Alchemist.
Anime.
Yeah.
No, I will say, like, and you know, if we want to get off on, like, the whole, like, meeting otaku girls, I mean, I would say, and I don't claim to be any kind of expert, but I would say, like, I think the bigger
You're
issue
You're a master.
Really, please don't follow up on that with another word that would,
I didn't say anything else.
Debater, yes. since this is a roundtable discussion.
no, it's gone.
I would say really is just, more about, not about necessarily common interest. I think that's good, that's helpful to have something to talk about, but about confidence in who you are and what you like and not really being too apologetic about it. I mean, I think that's a big thing. I mean, confidence, no matter how you slice it, is sexy.
Mm, yep. Yes, and that's actually echoes a piece of advice that Marot from tsunsun.wordpress.com said in her post about anime otaku dating in a post called "The Mystery of the Female Otaku Uncovered," I guess. And this was actually, you see, this post, this topic was inspired by actually a number of posts in the anime blogosphere regarding how to get an otaku or convention girlfriend. And like one of the most notable ones was 10 ways to get an anime loving girlfriend from Ryuva on www.ryuva.com, post number 666. I will leave that. I will say no more about that. But Ryuva suggested numerous interesting pieces of advice. Things like, get a big camera and profess to be a photographer.
Notice he said big camera.
Yes.
And hopefully not compensating for anything.
Make sure you add a battery grip. Big capital letters on battery grip. A battery grip is like a lion's mane. Not that useful, but sure as hell makes your camera look bigger. And from the girl's POV, bigger camera equals better skills and more professionalism. And number two, and this is bodes very well for me and Ray, write an anime blog or be the owner of a website. Woohoo!
Yes!
And a podcast.
Yes!
Yes.
Do your weekly audio columns.
Yes. If you don't have a blog, you will have to impress the girl within a short time frame, most likely through your oral communication skills. Clearly one subject most otaku fail. But with a blog, you can slip her the link, and if it's a good site, she'll read it and be impressed.
Ooh. You said oral.
You said slip her the link. I don't know. That's...
I am quoting Ryuva. That was a quotation.
Oh, you said oral.
I gave out 27 business cards at AX with our website address, and everybody who watches the video also will see our thing at the very end. So I have done my bit for this website, and I hope... And yes, a good number of them were female. No, I was not interested in dating them per se, but yes, business cards are a good idea, I think.
You were saying...
Okay,
you're
having a call out. Okay, we're having a call out. Mike Huang here would like a date. Send your pictures, your phone numbers.
We should have a contest. We could have win a date with Michael Huang.
Hey, I want to be like Mike.
Oh, no, please don't. I don't want the huge flood of girls knocking down at my door, as I know will absolutely happen, because, you know, I just can't deal with that.
You have a hard enough time studying as it is.
Yeah. So. I have my duties. I have my calling. So, girls, you know, cool it. I know you all love me, but just, you know.
What's that song that goes, Dr. Love, Dr. Love?
You got the confidence already, Mike.
There you go. I'm just trying to be cool. And some of the other tips that Ryuva suggests is be an active member of forums where youngsters, because who wants to date old people, right, with similar interests to you congregate.
How young?
I like the fact you said youngsters. That sounded kind of pedalicious.
How young?
Quoting. Trash the SOS Don, Da Capo, and other COSPA merchandise. Or at least wear them only until the collar stretches. And the shirt should remain the original color. Make sure you change your shirts daily, too. No, just because you wore it for a mere 5 hours does not mean it's in a half-clean mode.
Well, that applies to me. That definitely applies to me.
Do not show any girls your Moe collection, doujin, or hentai series. And don't talk about them, too. At least not too much.
Unless they ask to see them. But, you know.
Yeah. By too much, I mean anything more than a passing sentence of the, yeah, every guy has them type. And then, like...
The women blogger.
Yeah.
Had a complete different opinion about it.
No, she really... Yeah, she pointed out some girls really do like porn. And it's like... And not just yaoi, apparently. Porn besides yaoi, like Marmo actually points out. And...
Okay, when I read that, it's like the light just dawned on me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
But Marmo's advice was actually a good deal more conventional and a bit more serious. Things like sort out your priorities beforehand. Ask yourself, what do you have to offer? Confidence. Do you have it, mother... Beep. Anyway, I don't want to put yet another explicit tag on this podcast. Realize that you've got flaws and that she'll have flaws too. And finally, before we're males or females, we're humans. It sounded like she actually wanted to give advice, whereas Ryuva just simply wanted to have a laugh. Though some of his later tips are actually somewhat serious. Be open-minded towards yaoi and other aspects of female fandom, including cosplay, screaming, and bitching.
Yeah, you can skip all that stuff.
Yeah, and then the rest of it is just basically things. A lot of it is common sense. Be funny, read up on other things, get to know as many girls as you can. And so...
Two words, funny and cocky.
Yeah.
Think Han Solo meets fill in the blank with the funny comedian of your choice.
Yeah. And I guess it does sort of, I mean, the first line in Marmo's own response to this was, after seeing the Ryuva post, I realized, ha ha, oh wow, a lot of you are losers. But then she says, then she, of course, concludes, female otaku aren't any different. And,
yeah. Very true.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, you have to kind of ask yourself, too. It's like, you know, do you necessarily want to date them? typical otaku. I mean, do you want to date yourself?
Yeah.
Why not go for something a little bit different and see what somebody else has to offer?
Yeah.
Might bring another side to you. Think Train Man, Densho Toko.
Yeah.
Densho Toko, right. Have you guys seen that episode in Seinfeld? Where Seinfeld meets this girl who's played by Jenny Garofalo. And he's like, it's like I swept myself off my feet. And did he end up dating her? No. yeah, like, who do you want to pretend if you want to put on a personality? I mean, maybe, yeah. I don't know, Vash the Stampede.
Yeah.
Of course, I think Shinji would be a really terrible idea.
Oh, no. That, I don't think there's anything less attractive than being a self-enclosed whiner. So that's what Shinji basically is. And that is a basic, an unfortunate, I don't know. I got the feeling sometimes in Evangelion, you know, the whole point was try to wake otaku up from that attitude and to get them to stop being like that, at least in part. But it's because if the follow-up to it was any indication, you know, Karikano, you know, that was, you know, that was the thing. But who knows? I'm still looking forward to the upcoming EVA movie that's coming out in less than a month, actually. And I will certainly be reviewing it. If anything, all these dating tips, actually, I've been watching School Days, the the eroge adaptation love triangle soap opera anime. And basically, it's a show where everybody is hating on the main male character, Makoto, because he's making every single elementary mistake in the book with regard to dating. And
like, you're the expert, right?
Like, I don't think you even have to be an expert to see that he is being the biggest dumbass you've ever seen with regard to women. I mean, there's like this, I mean, he's basically caught in a relatively traditional love triangle. It's kind of like Kimagure Orange Road, right? Or any story like of that ilk. The thing is that, okay, he likes this particular girl, and he likes her because she has big boobs. Let's be straight about it. I'm not like kidding about that. That he really does like her because she has big boobs.
Oh, and well.
That's problem number one. He's attracted to her for all the wrong reasons.
Wait, problem?
That's normal.
Yeah, it's perfectly normal for a 16-year-old guy. I mean, that's why I cut him a lot of slack initially, because I felt that his foibles were believable foibles. I mean, I knew a lot of guys like that. I was like that to a certain extent when I was growing up. I mean, I understand. It's
what is.
When I was 16 years old, you know, we were all inexperienced and we were emotionally clueless. We just, you know, it was either the first time or either close to the first time we'd experienced stuff like that. So that's understandable.
Okay, what Mike meant was when he saw big boobs, he couldn't think straight.
We'll just leave that alone for now. And just imagine me. Oh, okay. I'm not gonna say to go that way. Go there.
We're trying not to, Mike.
Yeah,
say it.
In either case, I mean, like, so, and there's this other girl, and this other girl actually really likes him, but she's not willing to admit it. She's playing kind of the matchmaker. She's actually trying to get him and the other girl with the big boobs together for some really odd reason, even though she really has the hots for him. But she's, like, really suppressing that. And so, and the thing is that, so yeah, they actually do get together. The guy and the girl with the big boobs get together. They actually start going out. And on their very first date, the guy is actually flipping through like Maxim type semi-porno magazines, like in front of the girl. He's not paying attention to her. He's not paying any attention to her. He's like just, his mind's wandering all the time. He's looking at all the other girls, like that he passes by. And this is on his first date with a pretty girl with big boobs. And she's like really shy. She's like really, you know, really passive and really shy and really kind of a very traditional kind of Japanese girl in many ways. And she's actually kind of shrugging this off, and she's kind of like kind of laughing nervously and like, you know, and maybe tapping his shoulder once or twice, but she's clearly trying not to be a bother while he's going off and being a huge jerk. I mean, even I know you're not supposed to treat a woman like that. Come on. That's just wrong. And it gets worse. I mean, the plot just completely collapses. And later on, you find out this guy has no conscience. I mean, this guy has no conscience. This guy is really, quite frankly, despicable. I have no other word for it. It's, I mean, I did not quite understand the hate fest at first, but now I do. after watching episode 5 and 6. So I'm not going to say any more about that.
I can tell you understand it, Mike. You sound very disgruntled. Like, he got together with a big boob girl, and he's blowing it. Taking it for granted. That was me?
We'll leave my personal life out of this.
I will hug her and kiss her and hug her and kiss her and adore her.
I would have treated her better. Give her to me. Yeah.
No, but the strange thing is, why is this anime made, even?
I don't know. There's a lot of fan service in it. I guess maybe that's it. I mean, there is a lot of fan service.
No, but are they trying to fuel some sort of otaku like fantasy, like he's alpha male or something?
I suspect that may actually be the case. I really do think so. I cannot otherwise explain why the main character seems so heartless sometimes. It is actually a believable heartlessness. Like, there are guys who really are like that. And it's really interesting how at the end of every episode, you don't actually see this in most anime. There's a little disclaimer that says, you know, the characters in this show are fictional. You know, any resemblance to real, you know, characters or in people, places, and everything is purely coincidental. That's really interesting because that's a disclaimer you don't see in anime that all that often. You see that in most movies, but it's like as if they knew, you know, this may hit close to home for some of you. And, you know, we're not ripping off your life. Well, we didn't read your diary. So, we didn't
read your diary. Yeah. There are guys like that in real life. And you know what?
Yeah.
Most often, they get more of the women.
And, well, it's really interesting because, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm only halfway through the story. And, again, this show is really famous for really, really awful endings. Like, bad, traumatic, and depressing endings. I mean, I cannot see how this story can end happily, though. So it's, but I'm waiting for it anyway because like a lurid soap opera, I'm really into it now, and it's
oh my god,
yeah. I just want to see how badly these people suffer sometimes. It's mostly the guy. The girls really don't deserve it. The girls are really, they're not totally innocent actually. I think that's actually one of the good parts of the show. They, you know, they're all responsible on some level, and that's believable. That's humans. That's humanity. But you know, but at the same time, it's definitely the guy who's to blame, you know, 75%, 80%, 90%. It's so, what he's doing, it just goes beyond clueless. It's just wrong. I mean, it's immoral.
There's the other side of it, though. I mean, yeah. Granted, you know, that's we'd all pretty much agree that that's going way too far. But yeah. On the other side of things, the other problem, talking about what we were talking about earlier, it's the otaku guy that's just, that's just too nice.
Yeah, that's the other
nice
yeah.
Doesn't you know, and we've all seen that type of person or been that type of person, maybe doesn't work out that way. Nice guys finish last for a reason.
That's pretty much me, probably still to a very large degree. It's and so it's really interesting, like the first time I watched Love Hina. And the first time I watched Video Girl Eye, which was very early in my fandom, like the first year I started watching anime, you know, I'd never seen stories like that before. And I remember I said, oh, wow, I could actually sort of identify with these guys. Like the guy in Video Girl Eye, for instance, which was actually relatively emotionally realistic, and despite its rather outlandish premise. And with Love Hina, you know, yes, it's true. True confessions. I did have a childhood friend, and when I was growing up, I did have a childhood friend, and
oh my god! Really? Yeah.
Let's not go all Genshiken on me, okay? So, but I did. In fact, Ray, I think I've told you about this. It's really I was very close to this girl when I was in fourth and fifth grade, and then we moved away. Both of us moved to different places, actually. Oh. And we were very, very close. We even had those little moments where, like, you know, no, you know, we're not going out. We're not girlfriend, boyfriend, you know. Oh, you're ugly, blah, blah, blah. Of course, you don't mean it. You mean exactly the opposite. I know that whole rigmarole. And so it's like, you know, when I saw it, you know, in Love Hina, it's like, wow, this could be really touching. I'm stupid like that, but, you know, but then you start realizing, wait, this is a cliche. You see it over and over and over and over again. And this is like, Is it because this is the last time, like, most otaku have ever had any close relationship with a girl who's not their sister or something? I mean, it's like when they were little kids. I mean,
each of us should give one tip we think it's important.
Yeah.
Start with Jeremy.
Well, I mean, I've kind of said it before, but confidence, really, and just being yourself, being comfortable with yourself, comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Mike?
Yeah, don't be just act naturally. Don't treat the woman or the girl, if you're younger, as somebody like a member of an alien species. It's better to actually be friends at first, and just let the, if there's going to be a romantic relationship, let it grow naturally. Don't force it if you don't have to.
Okay, and I guess for my advice, actually, that's a difficult one. Oh, let's see. Make sure to dress up in a lot of cosplay costumes and use that camera of yours.
Especially very crossplay moe ones.
Yes. Yeah. Because we all know girls dig Mikuru with hairy legs. Yeah. Hairy legs. All right, guys. I think that pretty much wraps it up for today.
Yep.
So, this has been Anime Diet Radio number double digit 10. I'm your host, Michael Huang. Say goodbye, everybody.
Okay, before I go...
Goodbye, everybody.
My ultimate weapon is the... here's one more line from Moe Tam. Weapon, my ultimate weapon is the Chinese cannon attached to my groin. See you, everyone. Good night.
Oh, my Lord.
On that note, this is Jeremy from Los Angeles signing out once again.
All right. See you next time.